our Bibles tonight. Praise the Lord for the good singing. And it's always an encouragement to hear you folks sing. And one of these days we're going to get our choir going again. And probably looking at maybe after the first of the year. We are looking to do, just to let you know, we are looking to do a dinner concert again. We're working on our brochure for that, a little bit like a winter wonderland type theme. And it is, I think, December the 19th. Stephen, maybe you can help me put that date in the bulletin at some point soon. I tell you that so you can invite folks. Hard to believe we're already thinking about Christmas. Time goes quick, doesn't it? And so we're looking to do that. And then maybe, Lord willing, first of the year, we'll start our choir back up again. And so get your voices, me. Start working on your voices and get them going there, and you'll be ready for the choir, all right? 2 Kings chapter number 6. We're going to continue our series on the life of Elisha. It's really just a bunch of miracles that God used. I mean, it's more than that, but in each story, it's as if we see a new miracle that God does through Elisha. It's amazing. Elisha, before Elijah left, said, "I pray a double portion of thy spirit," is what his request was. And Elisha does twice as many miracles as Elijah. And that's an interesting thing to note out. Well, tonight's story is kind of pretty simple. It's very straightforward. We're going to read verse 1 through 7, and then we'll have prayer, and we'll give you some lessons that I see from this story, some observations from these seven verses. The Bible says this in verse 1 of 2 Kings chapter number 6. "And the sons of the prophets said unto Elisha, Behold, now the place where we dwell with thee is too strait for us. Let us go, we pray thee, unto Jordan, and take thence every man a beam, and let us make us a place there where we may dwell. And he answered, Go ye. And one said, Be content, I pray thee, and go with thy servants. And he answered, I will go. So he went with them, and when they came to Jordan, they cut down wood. But as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water, and he cried and said, Alas, master, for it was borrowed. The man of God said, Where fell it? And he showed him the place, and he cut down a stick and cast it in thither, and the iron did swim. Therefore said he, Take it up to thee. And he put out his hand and took it." Lord, I pray tonight that you would help us as we look at these few verses. I pray that you would use it in our lives. I pray you'd help us to be what you'd have us to be. Lord, I pray you'd help me to say what only you'd have me to say. I pray you'd be glorified. And Lord, we love you. Thank you for the privilege to love you and to serve you and to be part of your church and to be here tonight. And we want you to be glorified. And so we pray to that end in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I have three very simple truths from this passage, some observations that I want you to see. Number one, the work of God should be moving forward. The work of God should be moving forward. Now look at verse number one. The Bible says this in verse number one, "And the sons of the prophets said unto Elisha, Behold, now the place where we dwell with thee is too strait for us." Now, we know that Elisha, part of his ministry, was to train the sons of the prophets. And we know that he did some teaching and he did some training. Of course, he performed miracles. He helped the nation of Israel. I mean, he was used of God in a great way. In this particular chapter, what happens is the sons of the prophets come to him and they say this, "The place that we're meeting in is too straight. It's too small. We need a bigger place to meet." Now, I want to give you a couple of observations concerning the work of God moving forward. I want you to think about this. The work of God moves forward when the people of God see the need. It's interesting, as we look at this story, the need didn't start with Elisha. The need started with the sons of the prophets. The sons of the prophets were there. Maybe they were too cramped. I don't know. And they got together and they recognized, hey, there is a need here. Do you know, for the work of God to move forward, a church needs to see the needs in other people around them. We need to see the needs, not only in other people in our church setting, but we need to lift up our eyes and look on the fields. Why? Because the fields are white unto harvest. The fields are white unto harvest. Interesting, Jesus said, lift up your eyes. We have a tendency to look in. We have a tendency to look just in our little world. We need to look at and see the needs in other people. But I want you to see, secondly, not only does the work of God move forward when we see the need, but the work of God moves forward when the people of God get involved. Look at verse number 2. So the sons of the prophets are cramped. They say, we need a bigger room to meet in for you to teach us in. And so verse number 2, the Bible says this. This is what they say. Let us go, we pray thee, unto Jordan, and take thence every man a beam, and let us make us a place there where we may dwell. And Elisha answered, go ye. So they say, hey, we have an idea. We don't want to just see this need and say, hey, we're just cramped. We want to go beyond just seeing a need. We want to get involved in helping to meet this need. And so they have a desire here. They say, all right, let's all of us, we're going to get some equipment here. We're going to get some wood. And we're going to all do our part to see this project done, to see this thing taken care of. Well, I read that. I thought about the Church of God. Do you know, for the work of God to go forward in 2021, and as we look at moving into 2022, the people of God need to see the need, but the people of God need to be willing to get involved to allow God to use them to meet the need. You know, it's one thing to say, hey, Pastor, there's some windows in this church that need clean. Now, I'm thankful for all of you to clean every week, and it just happens, and praise the Lord that it happens. But it's one thing for someone to say, hey, the windows in the church need cleaned. Okay, thank you for telling me. It's another to say, hey, Pastor, the windows in the church need cleaned. Do you mind if I clean them? And of course, after the pastor picks himself up from the floor with the smelling salts. No, I'm just kidding. You folks are wonderful people. You're wonderful people, but I'm trying to help us to see. It's easy to see the need. Easy, Pastor, you know, so-and-so needs a call. So-and-so needs a call. They haven't been here in a while. Do you know what's up with so-and-so? They need a call. You should call them. All right? that's fine. I'm happy for someone to tell me, someone to call. People have said to me, hey, my family member or my friend, my coworker needs to be saved. Okay, I'm going to bring them by the office so you can save them. Well, I don't save them. God saves them. I'm going to bring them by the office so that you can tell them about Jesus. And that's fine. I'm happy to help in any way I can. But you know what? It would be far better for us to say, hey, Joe, whoever needs a call, they haven't been here in a while. Do you happen to have their phone number? Can I give them a call? Hey, if somebody say, hey, my neighbor needs to be saved, do you have any tracts or some pamphlets or some material that I could use in help them to trust Christ as Savior? You see, the sons of the prophets aren't relying on Elisha to do the work. The sons of the prophets are talking to Elisha to say, hey, we're going to do this. What do you think? And he says, go, let's do this. Let's get the job done. Do you know in Ephesians chapter number 4, we're going to have a little review here, something that we review periodically, and everyone's looking at me like, oh no, am I going to pass or am I going to fail this test? In Ephesians chapter 4, we have really some church philosophy there. The Bible says that God gives the pastor to the church to do what? To equip the saints to do the work of the ministry. All right? So as a saint, as a member, I have to do the work of the ministry. And as a saint and as a member, you have a responsibility to do the work of the ministry. Now let's ask ourselves this question. Here's our review question. What is the work of the ministry? You get an A+, Tyler. Yes. So we have gone over this. Jesus, in his ministry, we read twice in the Gospel of Matthew where what Jesus did is he came and he reached people with the gospel. He discipled people and he met the needs of people. He ministered to people. So we need, as individuals, we need to be reaching people with the gospel. Let me ask you a question. Is there somebody's name on your prayer list that you are praying that God will give you opportunity to reach. You see, we'll talk about this when we get to our third point. But when we think about that, what about this this matter of discipleship? What about this matter of helping people to move in their spiritual growth from point A to point B? Is there somebody on your prayer list that you can name? You could say, Pastor, look, here's my prayer list right here. Here's my prayer list right here. And I'm praying that the Lord would give me someone to disciple. And I've been thinking about this individual or that individual. Well, what about in the area of ministering, the area of meeting the needs of one another? Are there people you say, hey, I've been praying for so-and-so. They've been under it right now. They've been going through it, and I've been asking the Lord how I can meet their need, what I can do. You see, it's important that we see the need. It's important that we get involved in meeting the needs of people that God brings across our path. Do you know God's going to bring people across your path that only you can be a help to in specific areas? God's going to show you needs in people's lives. Why does he do that? I think it's because he wants us to be his agent to help meet those needs. And so the sons of the prophets are like, okay, we're cramped in this room that you're teaching us. What if we all go get some wood and we all help to make this thing? And he says, yes. But it's interesting, there's a third little nugget here as we think concerning moving forward. It moves forward, the work of God moves forward when the people of God work together with the leadership of God. They bring God into the equation. Now, this wasn't just some idea that they had that they were just going to do it. And here, Elijah, look, we got you a new cabin. Oh, really? No, they brought him along. They said, hey, we're thinking about this. Should we go? Yes, let's go. And then it's interesting, they not only ask for his advice, but they ask him to go with them. Verse number 3, the Bible says this, and one said, be content, I pray thee, and go with thy servant. And he answered and said, I will go. In verse number 2, they're asking for his advice. In verse number 3, they're saying, Elisha, will you come with us? They wanted the blessing of God. I think it was a good thing, and we'll see this in a minute, that they brought the man of God with them. You know, so many people make decisions. We have a lot of decisions in our lives to make, don't we? And God gives us counsel. He gives us godly counsel. He gives us people in our lives. Every young person here, if your mom and dad are saved, by the way, even if they're not saved, you can still get some counsel for them. You just have to weigh it. Well, you have to weigh it with the Word of God. Hey, you've got a saved mom and a dad that love you, and they want to see you make it for God. They want to see you be a success. And you know what? It's important to seek godly counsel from individuals as we think about the decisions that we have to make in life. They wanted, hey, we want Elisha along. We want the man of God along. Do you know our society is made up of a lot of independent minded people? I'm an independent thinker. Now, it's interesting. Think about where we're headed as a nation. Why are we headed where we're headed as a nation? Because some people think that they know what they're doing and their way is the right way. You know, the Bible says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. You may say, well, we don't need God. We don't need God in the school. We don't need God in the government. We don't need God. Yeah, and we wonder why things are a mess. You see, the work of God needs to be moving forward. And it moves forward when God's people see the need, they get involved, and they include God in their plans. Number one lesson, there it is. The work of God needs to move forward. Number two, as I look at the story, we're going to go to the next verse, verse 4, in just a minute. Let me give you a lesson here as I see it. Number two, our small matters are important matters to God. Our small matters are important matters to God. Look at verse number 4. So the Bible says, so he went with them. Elisha agreed to go with them. And when they came to Jordan, they cut down wood. Verse 5. But as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water. And he cried and said, alas, master, for it was borrowed. Now, notice this guy. that lost the axe head. Notice he was a man of character. He was concerned. Here he is chopping down this beam. I don't use an axe much, but you ever use an axe and the head falls off? You try to put the thing back on. I never had any luck with that. I put it back on, falls off again. You know, this one falls off, and this axe head falls off into the Jordan River. Now, what do we know about the Jordan? Well, if we go back a few chapters, there was a fellow by the name of Naaman, and he didn't want to be dipping in the Jordan. Why? Because the Jordan was dirty. It was filthy. My guess is you couldn't see through the bottom. I guess you probably couldn't see through a few inches. This axe head falls into the Jordan River. Now, the individual using it is concerned about it because he borrowed it. Now, because he borrowed it would mean he's a typical college student and doesn't have any money to buy his own, all right? And he's concerned about it. Now, think about this. Can you think about this? What could he have said? He could have said, those people gave me a reject of an axe. I mean, they loaned me this axe, and this head falls off this thing, and they should have had this thing fixed, and it's their problem, right? He could have done sometimes what we do now. Oh, the axe head fell into the Jordan. Well, I won't say anything. We'll just leave it there, and all will be well, and it'll all be... No. But this individual is a man of character, and so he goes to Elisha, and he says, Elisha, I have a problem here. I'm not blaming it on anybody else. I was using this axe, and the head fell off. Do you know what Elisha does not say? He doesn't say, hey, that's too small. What? Huh? Come on. We're trying to build this building, and you got this axe head, and it fell off? I mean, come on now. I am the prophet Elisha, and I only deal with big matters. Oh, no. He sees this little axe head, and God is going to get involved. Elisha couldn't do anything to help him. He couldn't do anything to help him at all. But Elisha knows that God can help him. But I want you to think with me just for a minute concerning the matters that we think are small and the matters that we think are big. We often forget how big God is. When we think about our problems, do you know, compared to God, all of our problems, big or small, are small. Our God did what? He spoke this world into existence. In the beginning, God created the heaven and earth, and boom, it was there. And God created, we know, the light from darkness. And God put the stars in the sky. And God created man. And he created man in his own image. And sometimes we can talk ourselves into thinking that these are kind of two small matters. The biggest matters and the smallest matters to God are important to us. When the kids were little, maybe some of you, how many of you girls, all right, teens, we're going to bring you involved in here. How many of you teen girls at one point in time in your life had a dolly? Let me see your hands, the dollies. Tim, you had a dolly too. We're so happy for you, Tim. Poor kid. Supposed to have a gun, Tim, a cap gun. We took the guns away from the kids once when they were little, and you know what the boys did? Boom, 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 boom. You chop their hands off. All right, here, take the stupid guns back. You know, what are you supposed to do? You know, every little girl's got a dolly. You know, really, a dolly, hopefully no girl is going to be scarred by this. It's just a little piece of plastic, you know what I'm saying? And I remember one time, I think it was Grace, she came to me, she was crying, and her dolly had a screw in its head. Daniel, what are you doing? He got a hold of my drill, and he decided to drill a screw in this piece of plastic. But hold on just a second. It was Grace's dolly. I mean, this is my baby. I've been taking care of this piece of plastic. We didn't tell her. And she comes crying to me, "Daddy, look at my dolly." Now, I could have responded in a number of ways. I could have said, "Come on, Grace, it's a piece of trash. We're going to go get you another one." Wrong answer, right? What I had to do was enter into this child's world. And I had to try to help her and explain to her that her brother had mental issues. I go to him, "What were you thinking?" "I don't know. I wasn't thinking." Just like this morning, we do things sometimes without thinking. But do you know what? To God, the little things in our lives are important. It doesn't take any more of God's might to solve the little as it does the big. He cares about all of the little details in our life. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 9, actually let's turn to Matthew chapter 9. Let me show you a story and then we'll look at our third point and we'll be done. In Matthew chapter 9, in verse number 23. Matthew 9 and verse 23, here's what we would call a big deal. And Jesus shows his perspective. Matthew 9 and verse 23. "And when Jesus came into the ruler's house and saw the minstrels and the people making a noise," they're making a noise and they're mourning the death of this little girl. And the Bible says in verse 24, "He said unto them, Give a place, for the maid is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn." And here's a gal that was declared dead, and they're playing the music, mourning, and Jesus shows up. And to them, big, giant problem, huge, worst in the world. And Jesus says, "She's not dead, she sleepeth." And they laugh him to scorn. Verse 25, "But when the people were put forth, he went in and took her by the hand, and the maid arose, and the fame hereof went abroad into all that land. Casting all your care upon him." It doesn't just say the big ones. It doesn't say the ones, just the ones that keep you up at night, just the tough ones because I'm kind of busy. No, 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 God says casting all of our care on him. Why? For he careth for us. Remember in John 2 what Jesus did for his mother at the wedding there? Made Turn some water into some good old-fashioned Welch's grape juice. I mean, good stuff right there, buddy. He cared about the little details. Go back to 2 Kings, and let me show you one more thought, and we'll be finished, all right? 2 Kings, chapter number 6. And we'll look at verse number 6 and verse number 7. All right? And the man of God, so he says, "Man, my axe had fell. It fell into the river. What do I do? What do I do?" And Elisha says this. All right, here's his response. He says, "Where fell it?" And he showed him the place. And he cut down a stick and cast it in thither. And the iron did swim. "Therefore," said he, "take it up to thee." And he put out his hand and took it. Now, you'll notice a couple things in these verses that will illustrate the third lesson that I'm going to give you right now. The third lesson is this. God does not do for us what we can do for ourselves. Let me say it again. God does not do for us what we can do for ourselves. Now, Elisha's the man of God. In this particular case, Elisha had to say to the servant, this is a big river, "Where did it fall in?" And the servant said, "Right here, it fell in right here." "Go get a stick." They get a stick and they bring the stick to him. He puts the stick in. What happens? The miracle happens. This axe head swims. What does Elisha say? "You pick up that axe head and put it on your axe handle." Elisha does not know where it is. "You got to show me where it is. I got to take the effort to get a stick and to put the stick in." It doesn't just swim and jump whooing, right on the axe head. No, you pick it up and you put it on the axe handle. You see, God works miracles. We know this. But God doesn't do for us what we can do for ourselves. Turn to John chapter number 11. John chapter number 11 is a great illustration of this. In John 11, Martha and Mary and others are mourning the death of Lazarus. They're mourning the death of Lazarus. Jesus delays. He wants to teach them a lesson. And so Jesus delays in his coming. And we know Lazarus dies. And Jesus wants to teach them that he's the resurrection and the life. And the Bible tells us in verse 34 of John 11, Jesus says, "Where have you laid him?" And they said, "Lord, come and see." And of course, there's the verse Jesus wept that we memorized in Sunday school a couple months ago. I hope you still have it down. All right? I hope you still have it down. If don't, you practice it this week, okay? Then I want you to slide down to verse 39. Jesus said, "Take ye away the stone." And Martha, of course, says, "Lord, by now he stinketh." And Jesus said, basically, "Take the stone away." And they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. Then Jesus lifts up his eyes, and he performs a miracle. Lazarus, come forth. Verse 44, he comes forth bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound with a napkin. And Jesus said unto them, "Loose him and let him go." When you look at this story, Jesus says to them, "Where is he?" "Oh, he's down here. There he is." Jesus says to them, "Hey, you need to roll away this stone." They use the effort to roll away the stone. Jesus says, "Lazarus, come forth." He comes forth. And then Jesus says to them, "Loose him and let him go." When you think about this, I started thinking about this. I always saw this passage as they took all of his grave clothes off. But I started thinking, maybe they didn't do that. Because I doubt that they wrapped him, you know, in a coat and tie, or, you know what I'm saying? I wonder if they just loosed him a little so that he could walk home and take the grave clothes off and put clothes on. We would imagine that they didn't pre-wrap him in clothes. They had to loose him a little bit and let him go. But do you see the responsibility that we have as God's people to do our part? You say, I wish I knew God better. I wish I knew God better. I wish I knew God better. Oh, I'm going to pray, "Lord, would you help me to know you better?" And do you know what? That's a great prayer. But do you know what will help you to get to know God better? It's to pray that prayer and to get into the Bible, to get into the Word of God and ask God to show you himself. Do you know what will help us to get to know God better is not just to pray that prayer, but to say, "Hey, I'm going to be at church when the doors are open. I'm going to be here Sunday school. I'm going to be here Sunday morning. I'm going to be here Sunday night. I'm going to be here Wednesday night because I want to get to know God better." You see, God's not going to do for you what you can do for yourself. Hey, God will speak to you. God will show himself strong on our behalf, but God wants us to do our part. What did God say to Moses in Exodus chapter 4 when he called Moses? He said this, "Moses, what do you have in your hand?" And Moses said, "A rod." And God used that rod to show himself strong to the Egyptians. But Moses had to say, "Here's my rod and here I am, Lord." Listen, if we want to think more biblically, we can ask God to help us to think more biblically, but we've got to get into the Word. Hey, if we want to understand and know and memorize the Word of God, we've got to take some action to the desires that we have. You say, "Well, I want to be a better man or a better woman of God." Hey, there's some action steps that we can take. You say, "Hey, I want to be a soul winner." We read stories. We read stories of prayer warriors. You hear stories of George Muir and say, "Man, that guy prayed and they set the table and there they were and the knock on the door came and God answered." And we say this, "Oh God, would you make me a prayer warrior like George Mueller?" If we don't spend time in prayer, it'll never happen. You say, hey, I want to be a soul winner. Lord, would you make me a soul winner? Would you help me to see people saved? It is very rare that someone, when you're praying, is going to knock on the door. What must I do to be saved? Can thou please tell this to me? Sometimes we expect God to do for us what we need to do. By the way, in this story, they saw a miracle of an axe head swimming. Do you know one of the greatest miracles that you can experience in your life? If you'll pray and you'll put feet to your prayers, do you know one of the greatest miracles you can see? One of the greatest miracles on this planet is to take this Bible and to show somebody how they can know for sure they're on their way to heaven and to have them kneel right beside you and trust Christ as personal Savior. And many of God's people will not experience that miracle because they're praying and they're not acting. God doesn't do for us what we can do for ourselves. Many Christians are struggling with bad habits. They have bad habits. Maybe it be viewing habits. Maybe it be other habits, bad character issues, whatever. Lord, would you help me to get up earlier on time or whatever? And they stay up till 2, 3, 4, 5 a.m. We want victory in our lives, and we can say, Lord, would you deliver me from pornography? Lord, would you deliver me from smoking? Would you deliver me from these bad music? Lord, would you deliver my mouth? Deliver me from these bad words that keep coming out. And I think we ought to pray that. But I think we need to attach to our prayers action steps to say, hey, how can I stop smoking or stop swearing or stop viewing what I'm viewing? You see, it's an amazing story. It's a simple story. But we see in this story that God doesn't do for us what we can do for ourselves. If you were here 2 years ago when we built that building over there, the last step, stage three, with these individuals that helped us financially was this. You raise money and we'll match you 3-1. It's unheard of. 3-1 never happens. You sometimes can get a 2-1 match or a 1-1 match. You never get a 3-1 match. But they said to us, we want to see how committed you are. We want to see how committed your church is. How important is this building to your church? We had to raise, I think it was $89,000. And you know what? You put feet to your faith. And the building is there because you did your part. And God did his part. Isn't that amazing? It's amazing that God uses us. God lives in us. It's not I, but Christ. But God doesn't force us to witness. He doesn't force us to read. I kind of wish sometimes that I could just take a little thumb drive and put it under my pillow and lay down and poof, I could just quote the Word of God. The Bible says in Lamentations, whatever. You probably wish the same thing, don't you? You wish you could take a little pill and all of a sudden you never have a bad thought. Take a little pill and all of a sudden you are super Christian. It doesn't work that way. Christ lives in us and he lives through us. And we need to allow him to do what he wants to do in our lives. And we need to do our part. Thought number one, the work of God should be moving forward. The sons of the prophets, we need an expansion. Hey, they got involved. Number two, our small matters, as they were doing the will of God, they recognized the small matters were important matters to God. And they are to him too. You may have something you think is just so little, I'm not even going to tell anybody about this. Tell God about it. He cares about it. Number three, God does not do for you what you can do for us. So they saw the work move forward. They saw God deliver in a miraculous way because they were willing to do their part and trust God for the rest. And we serve the same God. Lord, we love you tonight. Thank you for these simple truths from this passage of Scripture. Lord, I pray that you would help us to respond here tonight as you would have. And Lord, I pray that you would be glorified. Lord, would you meet needs, meet people right where they are. In Jesus' name. Our heads are bowed.